So today is, in covering all the thing about courtship, remember everything I said about what this courtship, I mean by courtship is like a Christian way of saying dating, marriage, and that kind of thing. I want to ask a question in the sense of why this is important, is like to say, if you had to break up, what are some implications from the Bible that applies to this situation? Okay? Like, what are some things in general from the Bible that might help even with what it is that we need to remember of how to go about this, okay? So the purpose today is to cover the subject of any courtship relationship in as much of a biblical manner as possible, okay? To end it in the nicest way as possible. But I also realize when you're calling relationship off, it is very painful, okay? It is very painful, yes? That's where you see all the music. A lot of music is what? It's about relationship that didn't work out too, right? Of course, there's love songs, but there's also songs about, you know, like when the relationship doesn't work out or they're rejected or all of that, okay? So it's very painful, but I think I want to talk about how, the three things today is things to consider about calling off relationship. That's the first part. An application about going about how do you end a relationship. Okay, how do you end a relationship? And the third part I want to end where I really want to spend more time, hopefully, is also what happens when you are rejected or you have to end a relationship when it's painful. Is there any comfort from the Bible to deal with the circumstance? Okay, so I'm excited to go over the third part more than the first and second part. But at the same time, we also need to talk about the first and second part of the relationship, calling off courtship first, okay?
Didn't get that one.
Is it okay tonight you share with, you have a smartphone now. You have a smartphone?
I left that in my email and didn't download.
Oh, okay. Would you be able to just listen to that just because I need this just so that the camera's easier?
I want to share with Ben.
Okay. Alright, okay. So, in light of this, so the first part is, I think, things to consider. First and foremost, if you're looking at the outline, being in a relationship doesn't necessarily mean you will be married. Okay, I think that's one thing we must always remember, that before we're married does not mean you are married now, right? That's very hard, okay, especially if you've been in a relationship for a long time. Nancy and I, we were in a relationship for 5 years. Now, we didn't think it would be for 5 years in the beginning. In my naiveness, I thought, oh, I could see us married in 2 years. Then 1 year later, I said, oh, I could see us another maybe 2 years from now. 2 years later, I said, oh, I could see us married 2 years from now. And it ended up being five, okay? Now, I remember there was a point, I remember asking Nancy, I think our fourth year, like, hey, if we had to call it off, how, you know, I think Nancy, I was just hypothetical. And Nancy was like, oh, wow, this will be really hard. And I was thinking about, yeah, it will be really hard right now, right? It would be really hard to call it off right now. Because the longer it is, your heart grows attached, okay? But I think something you need to consider, wisdom, is that being in a relationship doesn't necessarily mean you will be married. Okay. By the way, even just because you're engaged, engagement is almost like a promise that, oh, I will be married to you. Almost. But at the same time, I'd also say if you're engaged and it turns out in an engagement that this person is not someone you're meant to be married, there's also a time to be called off too. Okay. Now, this is a Pastor Ling story. This is not my story, but Pastor Ling's story. Pastor Ling, about 10 years ago, did a wedding for somebody where it was more of someone from church, and that person didn't go to our church anymore, but he did it for them. And in pastoral hindsight, he actually told me he kind of regretted it because when he was doing premarital counseling with them, they both were fighting so much. Now, couples fighting, there's a sense where there will be conflict, okay? By the way, sometimes we need to realize in engagement time, it's also a time where it could be very difficult. There's a lot of pressure, okay? But the kind of conflict that was going on was the kind of conflict where they disagreed with everything. Not just like, oh, you know, details of the wedding, but details of marriage. Everything was problematic, and there was so much fights. And both of them said, hey, we shouldn't be married. We probably should be married, but, oh, we already sent the invites. Oh, we already sent the invites, so I guess we have to go forward. And Pastor Lynn was like, no, you shouldn't get married just because you send the invites, just because now it looks bad for you. It's actually better to you know, it's painful, but it's better with the option to say, hey, this didn't go forward, things didn't work out, and therefore we decided in the best interest of everyone to go our separate ways, but we are both happy with that, right? Than to actually be married. So end up that marriage, it blew up it really in his face, in our face, kind of, in just a year. It just ended, and it ended pretty nasty. But in 1 year, they had a child, too. So now, many years later, there's still repercussion. There's still, you know, there's still difficulties going on, okay? Still going on. I bring it up to say that sometimes we need to realize that being in a relationship doesn't necessarily mean you will be married, okay? Because sometimes there's a lot of sense of, oh, well, everyone else is getting married. I see all my friends on Instagram, on Facebook. Now, I'm not making fun of people saying, this is the reality, the pressure. And we feel like, oh, but what about my time, right? I want this to work out. Maybe if. So that's something to remember. Just being in a relationship doesn't mean that. And by the way, if this does not apply to us, just also realize sometimes when you're in a relationship, people go up to us for advice, yes? Sometimes when we're married, suddenly people go up to us for advice. Or if you're in a relationship, sometimes friends, right, would say things like, oh, you know, I have this difficulty. And then when you hear that, wow, this is really bad, this is very abusive. And I think this is important also, even if it's not applied to us, somewhere down the road, you'll have family and friends that are in difficult situation. We have to give this tough and very hard, not easy discussion, saying, reminder, hey, just because you're in a relationship does not mean you have to be married, okay? Let's go on, or it will lead to marriage, okay? Remember, courtship is not marriage or meaning marriage. Sometimes we think that, where we enjoy that now, as if, you know, in terms of premarital sex or other things. I think that's something we remember. Sometimes when I say, oh yeah, we're goody two-shoe Christian, whatever, in the church, we will never do that. But also sometimes we give ourselves fully emotionally already, you know? I think relationship will be emotional. But remember, it's not junior varsity marriage, okay? Yeah, okay? And sometimes in courtship, when things turn out, the other person is not going to be your spouse, I think that's where it's time to call it off, okay? If it turns out that you know, oh, this person is not going to be my wife or my husband, I think the right thing to do is actually say, okay, let's not just date around, but let's actually determine the relationship, say we cannot head towards marriage. It's better to call it off, because why? You're now holding that person from seeking the spouse that God might call them to be, right? Does that make sense? Or also, same thing with you. If you're occupied with someone else and God's plan is that you're going to be married to someone else, you're actually holding up the plan with that. Does that, humanly speaking, does that make sense? Of who it is that God's intention is. Or even keeping you not even aware of it, of perhaps another brother or sister that God has called you to be in a relationship or marriage with, okay? So I want to go over some possibility of any relationship. I think I said before, several weeks ago, about how we should court Christians. If it turns out the person's not a Christian, that's one of the reasons, okay? The person at first seemed, or sometimes you might say, oh, you started going with someone at church. You think they're a Christian, but it turns out they're not. And therefore, that's another reason. Number three, guys, following along, is the person does not display the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes you might not say, oh, I don't know for sure they're Christian. Or sometimes you might say they are a Christian, but there's no gentleness, godliness. Turn with me actually real quick to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, please don't be scared off. Please, I hope you guys listen with me, track with me all the way to the end, okay? I don't want, my purpose is not just to make people feel bad and all that. But there's a sense sometimes where marriage, Galatians, yeah, chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, okay? Could I have a happy, motivated reader read me Galatians 5:22-23?
Can I read it?
Yes.
But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law.
Okay, thank you. Notice here, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what Christian's character is supposed to be like, right? They're supposed to be defined by love. There's supposed to be a sense of joy, and joy in the Lord, peace, right, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And then you're looking in relationship, recording, and saying, hey, in my relationship, do I see signs of this? And if you don't have that, I think that's also sometimes, okay, maybe this is not who God called me to be. By the way, we live in a way that human nature is such a way that if you don't have these things, sometimes the opposite is true. And if you look at the opposite is the deeds of the flesh in verses 19. Yes, see Galatians 5:19 to 21. Would you be able to read that? Galatians 5, Ben Chung, read Galatians 5, 19 to 21.
Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, faction, envying, drunkenness,
carousing.
Oh, carousing. Carousing and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, sometimes where the problem is so big, okay, again, let me clarify. No one is perfect, okay? None of us is perfect. But at the same time, if you see that in general, there's a trajectory of, there's an increase of the fruit of the deeds of darkness versus an increase of the fruit of the Spirit over time. I think that's sometimes reason to say, hey, maybe this is not meant to be. Also, if you look at point number four, major sins that would detrimentally affect the marriage with no signs or desire or attempt to change, okay? The key word is no sign of desire or attempt to change, okay? This is what I'm trying to say is, I think an example is physical abuse, okay? Physical abuse. Many years ago, one of the counseling I had, the session, I think it was when I just began ministry, was Nancy and I, we sat down with a couple, and the man was very abusive, physically abusive. Eventually, I looked him up about a few years ago. He was actually arrested for DUI and also for physically resisting an officer, I think, trying to attempt to assault an officer. And this man was just out of control. But one of the things when we sat down for counseling, it was more severe, very sobering, very sad for me. When I asked, how did you guys end up being married? The story, there was no even disagreement, agreement. The wife says she was pressured. The guy says, no, she willingly want to with that. You know, and I thought it was very sad. But sometimes I think it's important to say that, hey, if someone's in an abusive relationship, this is where, hey, this needs to be called off. Also, by the way, if you remember, we talked about the role of fathers and the role of others in relationship. Do you guys remember that? This is why sometimes, in some cases, where others stepping in, let's just say her father, would make a big difference, right? To say, hey, this is not, I don't want my daughter to do this. You're going to stop, man. You are not going to hurt my daughter anymore. This will not go forward, okay? So never just be so hyper-privacy. No one ever knows what's going on, okay? Sometimes that's God's way of protecting us, that others... you know, the joyful part is, yeah, everyone celebrates together, your family. But there's a safety part, too. Sometimes others say, hey, this, I don't think this is a good idea.
Right.
You know, and then if everyone else say that, that might be a sign that that would be with that. But my main emphasis is with that part of change, okay? I realize people could start relationships in a very rocky beginning. I realize that. But also I think sometimes God has, by His grace, have changed people. In that relationship where that person has changed. Maybe not super fast, but if you look back, wow, there is differences between that person a year ago and 3 years ago or whatever else, okay? Sometimes it might be called out because there's an unbiblical view of gender roles, marriage, family, and children, okay? I always tell this, you know, when there's a couple, when one of them do not want to have children, I always say, there's no Bible verses for me to say this, but I think it's an issue of wisdom. When there's a couple that's dating and one of them does not want to have kids, I think that's where I always encourage both parties to say, you might want to reconsider this. Because in the beginning, when they're dating, when they're courtship, when they're engaged, they're so excited about each other. And let's just say the woman does not want to have kids. Or let's just say the guy doesn't want to have kids, but the woman does, okay? Now, in the beginning, the girl will say, oh, yeah, I'll do anything because I love him. But man, 5 years down the road when they're married, it's harder to say, oh, I'll be childless. For that guy's sake only.
Well, they cannot, like the woman
yeah.
can give birth.
Yeah, that's different. But that's very different. Does that make sense? This one is because of choice. And then she's going to be keep on hitting the brick wall saying, oh, this guy still does not want to have children. And it's going to be affecting their area of relationship, okay? So an area, this is why I think it's very important to talk about premarital counseling. Sometimes it's kind of weird. Premarital counseling is good because when we sit down, sometimes we talk about family history. Because family history will shape who we are, too. Sometimes there's baggage. Sometimes this question is also, hey, how do we relate to in-laws? Where, you know, especially in a very fragmented world today, where, you know, immigrant family and culture, ethnic culture, there's generational differences. Sometimes these expectations are never set. And then if we don't talk about it, this is why I always encourage premarital counseling.
I consider like when some like a woman has a health issue that they cannot give birth.
Yeah, that's different though than someone that says, oh, I don't want to have kids. You know, so I always encourage them to say, hey, you might want to revisit because it might not end up being well because there'll be source of conflict. It's one thing to say, oh, it turned out can't. That's God's lot. That's, you know, in God's sovereignty. But it's very different when there's a total disagreement at the get-go, even though they can, okay?
Yeah.
So let's go through this part. Also, sometimes why people call off relationship is simply you cannot see that you married the other person, okay? You just don't see that, right? Same thing also as well, sometimes when people desire not to be in a relationship, it doesn't mean that person was ungodly or bad, right? You guys probably in different times in your life, maybe someone suggested, hey, could you see this person? You be with this person. And then you say, well, I think that person is Christian, is godly, has some good characters, but I just can't see myself marrying them, okay? Yeah. And that's the other reason, too. In courtship, sometimes it's discovered, not necessarily like some major dark sin, right? Sometimes I just can't see yourself, or you just can't see yourself being married to that person. And so, okay, let's call this off so that way that person would be able to move on, and you're able to move on. Versus staying, because the longer you stay, you will get emotionally attached, okay? You will get emotionally attached, and then it's going to be harder. With things. Does that make sense? Is everything I've said thus far clear and gracious in what I'm saying? And realize it's not targeted anyone here. I don't think this today is like specific thing with individual, but it's something we still need to know about, okay? So application. I want to talk about calling off the relationship. What I want to do is I want to look at calling off a relationship with a non-Christian and also calling off a relationship with a Christian. I think there's a different emphasis for both, okay, with that. And again, you know, some of these things are very difficult, but I think these are things to say, doing it as best as possible in a far from ideal situation, okay? Then after I talked about the application of calling off with those two specific group or category, I then want to talk about dealing with even after you end up calling off the relationship, or if you were yourself rejected, okay? Because I think this is where is most applicable is God dealing with our broken heart. Is I think there is a lot of resources in Christ with that in Scripture. So with that, let's look at calling off relationship with a non-Christian. By the way, when I say calling off relationship with a non-Christian, remember everything I said previously before. We went over one whole hour about relationship, like five big reasons why you should be courting someone according to Scripture that is a Christian, okay? But I also would say go slow. You don't want to be the guy that's so trigger happy to call everyone a non-Christian, okay? But at the same time, when there's a time, there's sometimes where it turns out, maybe sometimes I realize sometimes people end up being with non-Christian. You know, maybe there's certain things, they like somebody at work and boom, they're in that, okay? And they know they shouldn't, but they are, okay? Or maybe sometimes it ends up where someone's courting, they thought, oh, there's a girl at church, you know, I'm going to be with that girl. And then it turns out, oh, wow, I got to know her more. Wow, she's actually not a Christian. There's no personal relationship with the Lord. There's no love for the Lord. Everything the fruit shows she's not. And so in both circumstances, how do you call it off, okay? First and foremost, ask for forgiveness for being and the believer that has wronged them, okay? Sometimes, especially in the area of being a Christian or a non-Christian, when you have to end it, I think there's a sense where they're going to be saying, hey, you're a hypocrite, okay? Hey, you are a total hypocrite. I've seen you like this, this, and this, and you're calling it off, and they just see all your hypocrisy and they're going to throw it to your face.
Right.
Everything you've done wrong. So I think the very first step is to realize, hey, you've done wrong, saying you, hypothetical you, okay? I'm not saying any, you know. But this is where you say, ask for their forgiveness, okay? Ask for their forgiveness for being a believer that's wronged them. Now, like I said earlier, relationship with non-believer, I would say it's sin because we've already covered previous session where the aim of courtship is to be married with a believer. But if, by the way, sometimes I say, why is God so mean? But if God is the one that created everything, if God has made you and I, He determines what's right and wrong, right?
Right?
The same thing, like if you're to be a creator of a tool, you're the one that says, hey, how it's going to be used, right? The prerogative of just being the creator. Same thing, if God is creator and He determined ethics, then if you say, hey, Christians, those who have been saved, I died for you, I show my love by sending Christ, and Christ died for you, He loved you so much, He died for you, and experienced hell itself. Why would you not say, oh, okay, whatever I love, you love me, I love you back. And just simply love, whatever the person loves, you do, right? Same thing, if I know that my wife, which, yeah, it is my love, right? If my wife really loves Sichuan food, what do? Well, I bite my tongue and I go eat Sichuan food, right? Even though it's spicy, right? Because of love, okay? So in the same way, my brothers and sisters, in the same way, if you know God loves you and you love him back, whatever he wants, even if you say it's his preference, this is what you would do for him, okay? So this is where, if we're believers, then we would obey. And if we disobey God, it is a sin. And then if somehow if you realize, okay, this needs to be called off, I think the very first thing, instead of putting the whole thing, it's like, hey, it's wrong on you first and everything else and all the other problems, is go humbly. You're the believer. You're the one that, if you're a believer, you'll be sensitive to your own sin. I feel the more I grow as a Christian, whenever anyone has something bad to say about me, I actually look back at my life. If I were to be, when I was 18, when someone tells me something that's wrong with me, what I do? I put on them dupes. You feeling me? Right? You're like, no, I disagree. Versus right now, right? Like when we have, for instance, when we have meetings at church with servant meeting, when someone say, hey, Jimmy, I think this part, you didn't do it right, or that was not very bright. I say, oh, wait, let me think about it, right? Like, could you explain? Oh, yeah, I kind of see what you're saying. You're right. Because I think that's part of growing in the Spirit, is realize. But if the Bible says we're sinners, we as Christians, if we realize we are so helpless with our sin, Christ needed to die for us, we would be the most humble of people, right? We would be the one that would be going to ask for forgiveness first, okay? That's the way it is in my marriage too. Is, hey, if I'm wrong, I need to go to my wife. Even if there's a disagreement, and I need to say, hey, I need to share it to her, could you forgive me for my sin first? But not even to ask for forgiveness so that she could say sorry to me, and I'm just looking for that, right? And it's hard. It's something that could only grow over time. It could actually grow from loving God. God, knowing you're so secure in God's love, you don't feel insecure when the other person isn't right away going to say, could you forgive me for that? Do you see that? How the love of God makes us secure in our relationship. But again, the security is not based upon that person giving us worth. It's based upon the Christ giving us worth already. He died for us. He showed the value. He showed us, yes, our sin, we're sinners. But our value and worth is that he loved us so much. Your worth is the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. And from that security, then you could really face your difficulties and your sin. So go to them and confess your sins, okay? So if you're repenting to God, if you're in an unequally yoked relationship, true repentance means you have to break up the relationship. And of course, that's going to hurt the other person, yes? That's going to hurt the other person. And then you go and say, I'm so sorry, this is so painful. You know, I have wronged against you, okay? By the way, I know sometimes in our life, because movies, we see this oftentimes, right? Romance stories is often ends with happily ever after. I also believe God could use circumstance like this when people are called off in a relationship, okay? My own testimony, when I was a non-Christian, my best friend was a guy that was going out with a Christian girl. Now, they were not living very godly. You know, there was a lot of sins that happened, you know, immorality of all kinds of things. And how do I know? Because that was my best friend. He'll tell me. But then when she broke it off, she said, like, hey, you know, I was a hypocrite. I was a total hypocrite. My friend was so mad. He felt like, man, he was a little cocky. He was like, of all the girls I could be with, I ended up being with you, and now this is how you do it. And now you're talking about my sinfulness and everything else, and who are you? You're a hypocrite. So one of the things he did back then was, back in the day when people really call people from people's home, right? And then you're on the phone, and then like your mom and dad say, hey, could you hang up because I'm expecting a call? And you're like, no, I want to talk still, right? So he'll call. And then remember when they started doing three-way calling for the first time? You guys were around growing up during that time? You called three-way just because it was so cool, even though it was like 75 cents, right? So he'll call me three-way, and he'll make fun of her. But then he'll have me join in. And I wasn't really the kind of guy I think is cool to make fun of a girl. You know, I was just kind of there. He'll make fun of the Bible, Adam and Eve. Wow, haha, that's so dumb. What about incest? And he'll make jokes. And then I remember at one point, I wasn't really listening because I was trying to do my homework. He says, hey, Jimmy, could you just study the Bible? I would love to hear your perspective. I said, yeah, maybe. And then I got kicked out of school a few months later, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, okay, if there's a God, this is a very mean God. Okay, well, maybe I should read the Bible, like one of my friends says, because I have nothing to do at all, right? In the alternative program, there wasn't like hard school. It was just like, it was too easy, right? So then I finally started reading the Bible, and I got saved, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I think sometimes God used that circumstance, okay? By the way, one of the old pastors we had, do you guys remember his name? Or Josh? The previous pastor before Andrew, do you remember who it is?
Chris Peterson.
Okay, everyone else said Chris Peterson. No, there's one before. He was really short.
Before Chris Peterson
was... Oh, actually, we shouldn't say his name. This is recorded online. Okay, there was a pastor in our church only for 3 months, okay? He destroyed his ministry. Yeah, that's not there. Just K, okay? So, yeah, that cat totally destroyed his ministry in 3 months. But how he became a Christian was actually, he was a non-Christian, like he just wanted to go find girls at church. And this girl was just such a player, right? And then, you know, broke everyone's heart. Like, she was just a heartbreaker. You know,
can
and
we say his like preaching style is like what his preaching style?
Yes, I think he shaped my preaching. You know this guy, or you know this guy. I think that guy is a better preacher than anyone else I've known, and I would even say he's shaped me more in preaching. I think Andrew shaped me more in ministry and apologetics, but that man shaped my preaching. Every time I preach at it's just the world's smallest church, he would always say there's only 3 people there. Before, but let's go back. On. Yeah, okay, we're saying enough. Okay, let's go back on. So, anyways, I was just trying to say that you know it was through that time that he was rejected and just realized, man, what is this all about? Like Christian bunch of hypocrites. But then he just kept on crying to the pastor, and that led him to the Lord, reading the Bible. Okay, so I think we need to realize that God is a God that is so much more bigger than we realize. Okay, because sometimes we feel. There is a sense I hear all the time. Say, oh, I need to hold on because that person is the only source of hope. And I'm their missionary dating them. But also believe there is a good God bigger than that, okay? Let's go back on. You should ask for the forgiveness. Share the gospel, okay? But don't go share self-righteously, okay? Please. There's a difference, I think, of the way we share the gospel. As I grow older, I feel God has molded my heart to be more a broken-hearted evangelist, okay? Don't go self-righteously and say, hey, with a greater than you attitude, right? Hey, by the way, if you're in this relationship, you've also wronged that person very badly with this, okay? The non-believer in their sins will hate God, right? But you also want to share with them, okay? And it's also God will hate their sin, right? He's angry with sin every day. This is why we share the gospel is because we love people, okay? We love people. If you and I were to be in a building that's burning and a fireman comes up, break the roof to come down to pull us out, right? By helicopter. We'll be so thankful with that. So that's what we hope. We don't want just only to care. We love them only for now. But you want to love them, genuinely Christian love for them with that. By the way, some of the most moving times, I think, as a young guy at our church and even as a pastor, is there's been times where people, you know, had... their hearts attached to a non-believer. And there's been times where I've been so moved, even to the point... Now, I'm not a guy that likes digs chick flick, okay? I don't go... You know, I watch Great Expectation when I watch it because I love her. Right? Not a Great Expectation. We call all this Jane Austen. What is it? Pride and Prejudice, you know? I felt like a guy... If there's ever a version of that, guy's version would be what? Reasons and Rationality, right? Let's not talk about feelings and everything else like that, okay? But all I have to say, well, despite all that thing... So I'm not a chick flick guy. But at the same time, has there been times I've cried? For things, yeah, where people said to me, like, you know, I really love that person. They're not a believer. But I love that person genuinely to say that I want that person, if it means I'm never going to be with them and enjoy their company, but they go to heaven and trust in Christ, I am okay with that. And I want them to know Jesus Christ. And I'm willing to have that exchange, God, right? That is, wow, that's incredible, right? I think we need to be challenged with our idea of what is love, right, with that. But let's go back on. If they don't know him, Revelation 20 verse 15 is pretty sobering, okay? Let's turn to Revelation 20 verse 15.
Revelation 20 verse 15?
Yeah, Revelation 20 verse 15.
And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire.
Yeah, that should move us, right? To think that, hey, if people really, because of their sin, it's because of God's punishment for sin, that we deserve to be in hell. Every one of us in this room, myself included, we deserve there. When we're Christian, it's not a prideful thing. It'll be a thing of eternal thankfulness. The number one hallmark of a Christian is we are all sinners. We're no different than everyone else out there. But if God loved us so much, Christ died for my sin and saved me from this, why would I not be someone that's saved from it and tell someone else, right? Why would I not? And that includes telling that other person. But I know sometimes it's very hard because people want to, oh, I want that person still in a relationship. But you share. But I also believe the motivation out of love is very different than self-righteousness. And people can tell. Okay? People can tell. I felt there's been times when I've evangelized at PCC. And, you know, I know people criticize my preaching or out there. People, or sometimes Christians say, oh, this is not relational. But I also believe if you really love people, people could stop and just say, hey, what's wrong? This guy is fiery in his eyes with passion and compassion. I'm going to stop. What does this guy have to say? Okay. I think you can't fake true compassion for people. And people could tell, okay? By the way, people that are hurting could tell the most, believe it or not, okay? So in light of this, we share them the truth of God's love, okay? So this is hard. So therefore, at times, it means that we break off if there's no fruit of salvation, right? Sometimes it means it's very painful. Sometimes I also think it might mean we also have to cut communication, especially if that person is you're leading them on, right, or her on, right, or if that person keeps on having hope that there's still a possibility of relationship. Sometimes I think it's just best for closure. Or also, by the way, it's not just the other person. Sometimes if you know your own weakness, you keep seeing them. Oh man, I want to go back because it's, that also means you might cut contact. Okay. Now again, I hope you understand. I'm not the mean guy here, but I think sometimes that means there's a place to say, hey, I might have to remove that person on Facebook because it's going to be very painful for them or for myself also as well, okay? Especially, I think, if there's a temptation of not moving on or sinning again by reuniting. Or also, I think, when there's sexual immorality, right? Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, I'll just go through this quickly for the sake of time, right? Flee sexual immorality. The man is outside his body, but the immoral man sin against his own body, okay? Flee from that. Sometimes, yeah, like I said, where it's hard, where it can't be friends, the reality is also okay. It might mean there's some barrier you might need with that, okay? And calling off with a believer is also, there is its own challenge, right? Again, ask for forgiveness for any wrongdoing, okay? Remember, as Christians, you're still bound to sin. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us, okay? So sometimes even with Christians, why relationships don't work out, even though they're together, is also there is issue of sin, okay? But don't just go in and say, hey, I'm in this relationship because of you, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But no, also say, hey, look at an honest, brutally honest look at yourself and say, where have I wronged this person? And go to them and ask them for forgiveness. But not to say, hey, forgive me and come back. But sometimes it means there's a place to move on. In certain contexts, you say, okay, you share with that. But it's hard too, especially like, you know, I've shared this with many of you guys before. We go to a small church. I've always thought like, oh, if I ever were to be married, I'd probably have to find someone outside our church for two reasons. Because there wasn't a lot of sisters at TCAC, right? We're a church that's mainly guys. But second thing, I always felt like, man, wouldn't it be so hard, difficult, right? And sometimes that is very difficult in a small church where, hey, you break off, but then you guys are still there for, you know, because of commitments, because of various things, right?
What about Psalm
7? God desired reconciliation. Okay, Psalm 7?
Yeah, wasn't that referenced in the outline?
Yeah, 7:11, that God hates sin. Okay, 7:11 with that. I did reference that earlier. Okay,
oh, yeah.
So here we see, reconciliation. Even in our church, there's been people in this. And I think it's also hard in a small church versus a big church. Because big church, you could kind of, well, I'm not going to be a soldier in his ministry. I'm going to move over here to, I don't know, the guild or whatever other cool fellowship they have. Sometimes a small church is painful. Even in our church, there's been people that have been in relationships before. And then they break off. And it was very painful. And everyone knows. But then they end up being with somebody else. But I also believe that sometimes God does bring healing. Okay? Focusing on God does bring healing. We have a couple in our church. They used to be together. They break off and they're now with somebody else. But they're generally okay with each other. But it's with that with time. Realize also the most painful part sometimes is in the beginning. Okay? It is in the beginning. And I think you have to believe it is possible that things can be different over time. Okay? But the most beginning is sometimes when you see someone in a relationship move down, it's in the beginning part. Okay? I also want to say in breaking off in a relationship, make sure you protect that person's public testimony. Again, remember, everyone has sin, and you might find out this person, other person have this or that sin, okay? But that doesn't mean, therefore, because you're in a relationship, your relationship doesn't have to be talk show. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Talk show.
You know, people go on talk show, and what do? They air each other's dirt, right? Like crazy, okay? In fact, you know what? A long time ago, there was someone in our church that actually went to a talk show, to Jerry Springer. You believe it or not? This is not in our English side, okay? Someone actually went. This is craziness, okay? But over time, Jerry Springer is fake, okay? But you don't want to go down that direction, okay? You don't want to go down direction just because you're using someone. Therefore, you're going to WikiLeak everything. Everything bad about the person. No. The most Christian thing is to say, hey, okay, you know that, but that doesn't mean, therefore, you ruin that person, okay? That would not be very godly or nice, okay? By the way, if you do that, they could also go the same way. But sometimes we think in our side, oh, we're not that bad, right? But if you're throwing mud at each other, you're both at the level of mud, okay? And by the way, it's also sometimes shameful, right? It's embarrassing where others have to blush for you when you assassinate someone's character.
You can't already.
Yeah. So, going back on, don't forget the example of Joseph, the father of Jesus in this regards, right? Turn with me to Matthew 1:19. Matthew 1, if you know the Bible, you know that's the Christmas story, right? The birth of who?
Jesus Christ.
And yet in the middle of the birth of Jesus Christ, there's implication for even the area of...
Matthew 1?
Oh, yeah, Matthew chapter 1. Even the area of implication of relationship.
And Joseph, her husband being a righteous man, now wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly.
Okay. Now, do you remember what the story here? Mary is engaged to who?
Joseph.
So she's in a relationship. She's courting and she's probably smiling happy. But one day that smile turned upside down, turned into a frown. What happened? An angel came to her, right, with a message. Good tidings, right? Do you remember this? And she's wondering, what kind of message could this be? And what was the message? She is pregnant, right? And she's like, yay, but nay. What's going on? Like, could you imagine? Joseph, this person comes over. How would you feel if someone comes up to you and say, hey, honey, I'm pregnant, but it's not yours. But really, there was nobody else. You'll be like, what are you talking about, right? So, and the only time in history, okay, only time in history where that was actually true is with who? Mary. Okay? With Mary. But Joseph, of course, is like, what's going on? But do you see what happened? Joseph is like, okay, there's something fishy here. I'm going to call off the relationship. But did you catch a part of how he goes about trying to end that relationship? Did you catch that in verse 19? Joseph, her husband, by the way, back then when they're engaged, they already call themselves husband sometimes, okay? Being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, but by the way, even with the engagement, it's still not seen as full marriage. So there's language, the verb will be used to divorce, but at the same time, it's still something that, okay, you can still end it, okay? Plan to send her away secretly. Why did he do that? He wants to end the relationship secretly. What does that mean? That means he's not going on Facebook, sharing the whole world, and making sure, not just only friends, let's make this public for everyone worldwide to see, right? Does that make sense? He's not out there to destroy his relationship with who? Mary. Does that make sense? He's not out there to slander her. And by the way, in that culture, is a very, I think we must never forget, bringing this culture, Jewish culture at this time, is very intense in terms of reputation of a woman, right? If she has this bad reputation, will she be able to marry? No, right?
Yeah.
So it's ruining her process. But did you catch that? He ended that relationship, and he did it in a way that was most dignified as possible, okay? Now, he would have felt he was wronged. But he didn't say, okay, therefore, if I've been wrong, therefore I'm going to do this. In other words, he was not thinking of the mentality of two wrongs make a, what, right mentality. Mm-hmm. By the way, in a lot of relationship problems, that's always the mentality of two wrongs make a right. Mm-hmm. But that's something we always need to check in our heart, okay? Every one of us, we struggle with that, okay? So you end this in a way where you don't speak ill of them, okay? You don't speak ill of them, okay? And also consider this other person as a brother and sister in Christ. This concerns how you think of the individual, is what I'm getting at. Your thought life of the individual is important. What do you think that person would drive how you behave towards that person, okay? I'm not calling you just to act out a certain way, behavior modification externally, but even the way you think of them, you know. How you think of that person is not subject to being the victim of your emotion, okay? What do you think of that individual as a choice? Where sometimes you say, oh, but I feel this way. But I think God has saved us from our emotions too, that we can actually change in how we view them. And not just say, oh, I have these emotions, therefore I'm going to have to do this, okay? That person is a brother and sister in Christ, so treat them like one. Now, unless you two are back together again, because sometimes people end and sometimes people do get back together, realize if it turns out that this person really is not going to be your spouse, future spouse, you have to keep in mind that this will be someone else's future wife or husband. And act purely towards them, okay?
Right.
By the way, I feel, even when my wife and I were courting, in the back of my mind early on, I was saying, hey, just because, yeah, I'm excited. This is the first time I've ever been with a girl as my wife, Nancy. Well, later on, it turns out my wife, right? But in the back of my mind, I was always cautious, thinking, wait a minute, I've already seen enough guys break up, and just even though they're Christian and they did everything right, but it just turned out it just wasn't meant to be. That if you realize in courtship, this person might be someone else's wife or someone else's husband, that should treat, the way you treat them would be very, very different, okay? But when you end up breaking, that's even more true, okay? And how do you treat them as someone in light of this? I think you treat them as what? If they're a sister, treat them as a sister, right? The same way you treat your sisters is how you treat them. If they're a man, if it's a guy, then you treat him as a brother. And treat it in the same way as a brother. You would treat your own brother, okay? God is sovereign. I think this is where, in all of this, realize God is in control. In all of this thing, God's still in control, and His plan can't be thwarted, okay? So even with that, all of that, I think it's important to think purely of them, too, okay? This is especially difficult if there's been things that's been open that shouldn't have been open, very of purity, things that you've seen, things you have done. This is where we do have to strive to treat them purely, okay? And realize also when you end a relationship, you don't own that person anymore. Because sometimes people could be upset and, you know, say, hey, how come that person dated dated my ex? Why didn't that person talk to me first? Hey, they don't need to ask your permission, okay? They don't need to seek you or say, oh, I wasn't, you know, in other words, that person is outside your jurisdiction, okay? But I know emotionally it feels that way. But I think also realize you with all this, okay? Let's go, and obviously you can't be stalking, okay? You can't be stalking.
Right.
I want to go on now to the third part. Oh, man, so much. Man, we could cover a whole hour about pain, about the rejection part. But I'm just going to go through this briefly, okay? In handling the pain of breaking up, or if you're the one that end up being rejected, it's very painful, okay? Even with our single guys, I've always been trying to be careful. Because you don't want to make the guy so discouraged. You never, you know, by the way, being a guy, initiating relationships is very hard, right? Mm-hmm. You initiate, you face the possibility of being what? Being rejected, okay? But sometimes you just got to have to do it, right? So I don't want to where it ends up being so discouraged, hey, the guy never goes out again, right? So even with the sisters that they reject, you don't want to make it so discouraging as less possible where the guy never tries, okay? Because that's a hard role with that. But at the same time, it's also, you know, you have to say what you have to say, okay? But in dealing with the pain of breaking up or rejection, first thing is you pray to the Lord in your pain. Philippians 4:6. Can we turn to Philippians 4:6? Eric, could you read that? Just so someone else. Philippians 4:6. I know we started a little later today. I'm still 40 minutes into it, so... but I'm raising it. You can read that verse.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
I love this verse. Paul wrote this when he was in prison. And here it says we could pray for everything, right? Does everything include praying when you're rejected in a relationship? The answer is yes, okay? Or when you end up being a very bad rejection or breakup, right? Cast your anxiety upon the Lord, right? God can handle it when you go to Him about your fears. Sometimes there's the feeling of saying, oh man, why does this happen every time? Every relationship I've ever been in, and never had such a relationship, and there's a whole line. Go to God to pray for Him about your fears, about your worries, about your concern for the future. I think God can handle that, okay? Ephesians 6:18 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with perseverance and petition for all the saints, right? Pray, okay? By the way, sometimes, even in your hurt, pray for others. I think there's a place where God does honor that when you're struggling with your pain, where you are thinking about others. I think it helps us move on, okay? Also as well. You can draw close to the Lord during this time. Again, sometimes when in difficult time in life, I realize you might not be able to read the book of Revelation. You know, sometimes when we're in so much pain, it might not be a hardship. When you end up being rejected, that's probably not the time to say, hey, I wonder if it's mid-tribulation in the end times, or is it pre-tribulation or post-tribulation, right? That might not be the most edifying at that time, although there's implications still, right? Hey, look forward to eternity. But at the same time, the best place in pain is go where? What book? A really big book in the Bible, begin with a P.
Psalms,
okay? Go to the Psalms, okay? You might say, oh, which Psalms? Well, there's 150 Psalms, right? Crying out to God, okay? Go through that. Read and keep reading. And say, oh, Jimmy, I read it, doesn't do anything. Well, keep on reading it even more, okay? Until verses just minister to you, okay? That should be the way we read the Bible, right? Sometimes people ask me, oh, I read the Bible, it doesn't do anything. Well, just keep on reading, okay? Until the Lord minister, okay? Meditate on that. Oh man, oh, I lost that verse. Okay. By the way, meditate on the truth that Christ was rejected too. Okay? You realize in God showing his love for us, Christ showing his love, Christ was rejected. Christ loved us, but in order to show his love, he was rejected. Okay? Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 predicts Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53. Do you see that part, verse 3? He was despised and forsaken of men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Go to him, right? This is talking about Jesus Christ 700 years before. But don't just see his messianic prophecy. But does he know what rejection looks like? Yeah, he knows what it is. Sometimes, especially when a relationship breaks up really bad, you don't want to see anyone. But here Christ himself was rejected by all men. And here we see he knows what sorrow and acquaintance. So go to him. Go to him in prayer and pour it out to him. And by the way, I think this is bears saying that what Christ went through is worse than anything we went through, okay? I know sometimes when in pain, it's very hard for us to hear about someone that's been more painful than us. We like to do comparison. But I think this is where we go to Christ. And he's been through, hands down, no competition. He's been through more than anything. He's actually experienced hell. Or separation, the wrath of God, okay? Draw closer to the Lord, right, through that. And find your contentment in Christ. Find your contentment in Christ. For the sake of time, let's go on real quick, and we'll end with this note. Practice godliness, or godly singleness, okay? Sometimes relationship end because it ends up being a big self-discovery of how sinful you are and how sinful that other person is. Don't just only dwell on their other person's sin. By the way, the more you dwell on the other person's sin, the more it destroys you before it even hurts them. Okay. But also, I think it sometimes means taking a very honest look at ourselves and say, hey, what are sins that contributed, my own sin that led to contribution, I'm saying hypothetical, okay, of just, hey, this is the sin that ended the relationship, this is where I was wrong, this is where I was very hurtful to her or him or whatever else, right? And go to God for that. Go to God to confess and ask God to change. And sometimes I think people grow through pain, okay? I think people grow through pain of rejection. Even, say, oh man, I've never been in a relationship. Every time I've been rejected, never even a chance, okay? That's a story of one of that pastor I talked about, right? Rejected a lot. Finally got married at 50. Took a long time. But I would actually say when he was my pastor at 33, I don't think he was ready. I think everyone would say so. But whatever God's timing is, it's his timing, okay? But it took all that for him to grow, to see his sin. That's what he said. For him to grow to be the character of a man of God, okay? So realizing God's sovereignty, you know, he has a plan, okay? He has a plan. With all the guys that are married in our church, I'm glad for every one of the guys of who they are married, of who they are. With some of the younger men with the history I've known, I know with a previous relationship, and if you ask me, actually, if you ask the whole church that knows, we're always grateful who they end up being married. It was like, wow, I'm so glad, brother, it was this person and the other person. Because now we see in God's hand why it was and was meant to be. Okay? And sometimes it takes growth of rejection also as well. So in the moment of loneliness, when you feel so lonely, don't ever forget God is there. The biggest comfort you'll ever get is God's presence. Okay? I don't want to give too much example. Victor. Oh, I just one. I think to say, I think God had changed him. The guy that I've known when we were 18 years old is very different than the guy now. But it took a lot of pain with different times in his life with this area of the subject. And I'm so glad. I thank the Lord he's married to, who he's married to. I'll leave it at that, okay? But I bring us to say that in God's sovereignty, we need to believe that, okay? Let me say this with all this said too, because I know there's people in a relationship. This is not a sermon where I'm telling you to break up, okay? Please do not run and say, Jimmy is secretly telling me that. That's not what I'm saying. But I believe also there's times, even when we see sin, we struggle and we grow. The biggest thing is growth, okay? How do you know what's a Christian? Christian is sins like everybody else. By the way, as a pastor, I know Christians sin in heinous ways just like the world does.
Sure.
Okay? But you know what's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? Is a Christian will eventually see his sinfulness. Will cry out to God, forgive me. And the Lord will change his heart. The mark of a true Christian is repentance. So even with those in relationships, I don't want people to end relationship, okay? I like, believe it or not, I actually like doing weddings where it says, I now pronounce you what? Husband and wife, right? Or Mr. and Mrs. Ben and Noel Chung. I love that stuff, okay? But at the same time, realize, grow in Christ, okay? And make sure God is your third wheel. The only third wheel you should ever have is God. You feel me? Okay? Because He's the glue that keeps it together. Every other third wheel is weird and strange, okay? With that, because He is the foundation for our relationship.